What you have before you are a few selections from Adolf Tanquery's The Spiritual Life. My reasons for listing this here is that it was a standard textbook in the area of spiritual theology, or ascetical and mystical theology, as it was generally known prior to the 1970s or so. This was a standard textbook in that field, and I believe it's recently been reprinted by Tan Publishers and perhaps others as well. However, one can obtain most of it by simply downloading it from a number of sites, and a large portion of the text is available for download if anyone wishes to. It's not a required text for this course, from the course documents portion of our website. I wanted to go over it so that we can be aware both of the value that one can derive from this kind of a text, and I think it can be useful to note the subjects that were covered, and indeed as a source book that gives references to other authors, it can be very helpful. But I think at the same time one needs to recognize its limitations and certain aspects of it, of its orientation, that make it very problematic as far as using it for a textbook today is concerned. And since many of you will be in the position of recommending texts to people, I believe you need to be aware of some of the reasons why this text, which although well known and certainly very respectable from many perspectives, should not be read except in a very nuanced kind of way by people who are taking seriously projects such as spiritual direction. Let's look at the introduction and notice the very positive aspects of this kind of an approach to spiritual theology. He begins at the very outset with the goal of Christian life. He describes our end as supernatural life, as the end of our life being beatific vision, that is to say, union with God, the possession with God, and as one finds in the text of the scriptures, we shall see God as he is. There is, he says, an obligation to strive after that, and he intends to describe the means by which one moves toward it. The very great advantage of this kind of an approach to the understanding of Christian asceticism is that it begins from the goal of the project. What are we moving toward? Not what am I simply mortifying, what is the problem that I'm dealing with, but what is the ultimate goal towards which I am moving? And Tanquery very beautifully and carefully has articulated this at the beginning of his text. There is, however, a problem in the third paragraph of number one, where he begins, here on earth, however, the perfection we can reach, and so forth. And I've highlighted that in both yellow and in white. He organizes the whole of his text along the notion of the three ways, purgative, illuminative, and unitive. And indeed, for him, the understanding of this threefold approach or three-stage approach, the idea of people being in these particular ways, is very fundamental. One might even say that the goal of the spiritual director from Tanquery's approach, and this had been the approach since really the latter part of the 17th century until mid-20th century, the goal of the spiritual director was to, in a sense, diagnose where one was along these threefold ways. Were you in the illuminative or the purgative way still? And knowing that and recognizing the characteristics of an individual in these categories is an essential feature of his text. I believe this is a very problematic limitation because, as I hope we'll have the opportunity to see, the notion of this threefold way is based on a rather rigid and incomplete reading of Carmelite sources, especially St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila. They themselves do not create these three categories. They come from very great antiquity. In fact, Philo, whom we've already seen, already has described categories he borrows from Plato that are the origin of these, an idea that one begins with a purification of one's life, that one takes very seriously the project of purifying the soul, of engaging in ethical or practical purification. Indeed, the whole project of asceticism, of spiritual training, of discipline ordered towards a goal, which, as we've seen, he associates with the patriarch Jacob, is for him an essential part of the spiritual task. He also associates then with Isaac, as we haven't seen, a contemplative project of seeing God in creation, of beholding God in things that are made, and then in Abraham, who sees in the heavens the sign of the promise, Philo sees the great vision that allows him to stand for Christian contemplation. So already in a contemporary of Jesus, one has a kind of threefold association with a way of purification, a way of perceiving in creation, and a way of beholding beyond creation that later become this threefold way. But, and this is very important, and it's the reason why it's such a problematic limitation in writers such as Tanquiri who use this, in the earlier sources, there was a far greater sense of the interrelationship, the mutual interpenetration of these three aspects. They're not ways, they're not steps, they're not stages. They are three primary colors of the spiritual journey, or one might even say three notes of an ongoing symphony that is playing within our lives, and all three are always present in varying degrees. That's the kind of nuancing that has to be done when one reads a text like Tanquiri, and is part of the reason why his text is rather limiting for us. If we drop down to section 1, the nature of ascetical theology, he reminds us of the fact that traditionally in Roman Catholic theological study, the discipline with which we are concerned was divided into ascetical on the one hand and mystical on the other hand theology. Ascetical theology he attempts to define or to describe as the art of perfection, the art of arts, and in fact he applies that to both of these disciplines. He goes over something of the etymology of the term asceticism in Article 3, Section 1. And then in number 2, he points out that the this twofold scheme is of very great antiquity. He also attempts to articulate, if you drop down in paragraph number 10, or in, I should say in section number 10, that for him there's a distinction between ascetical theology that concerns the purgative and illuminative ways, and then mystical theology, which has to do with what he describes as the threshold of infused contemplation. So his whole understanding of asceticism and of Christian mysticism is deeply bound up, deeply intertwined with a very tightly defined, and I would have to say rigid, definition of this threefold way. And again, that provides us with an unfortunate limitation. If we drop down then to number 226, he bases his understanding in a sense of spiritual warfare, which is very traditional and very necessary, but can sometimes focus one's understanding of asceticism on repulsing temptation and avoiding the bad, whereas there is also the very important goal of striving after the very good. And the other very important limitation of his text, which we see down in number 228 and following, is his emphasis on merit, a category which is difficult for us today to use without falling into the trap of at least Pelagianism, of believing that somehow we are meriting God's grace. This is not what Tanquiri believed. His is a very sophisticated neo-scholastic understanding of merit and its role in the scheme of salvation. But if one drops down and looks at what follows from number 228, I think we will find that his use of these categories would be very difficult for people today. Without a lot of explanation, it would be very difficult to hear these phrases or to make use of these categories without losing sight, I think, of the importance of the gift of grace always at the very beginning. That isn't to say that that was the case for people who used these texts in the past, but I do believe it represents a significant limitation for us today.